Today we are honored to have some of the youth who recently did a service trip to Texas come and speak some about their experience. I will tell you now to mark your calendars to hear more on Sunday, August 21st at 9:30 between the services, when the entire group will lead a PowerPoint presentation with pictures and tell even more stories. So today you just get to wet your whistle a little bit. This idea of service trips is not a new one to church, but I think it has a really interesting history here at St. James. What began a few years ago with, I think, Jeannie and feeling the Spirit calling her into doing service has grown over the span of a few years into, well, maybe just me and a friend or a daughter, into what culminated this year in 7 members of our church going. So it's an exciting ministry because it's one that has grown organically and is now at a pivot point to grow into something even bigger. And I'm excited to see where that goes in the next few years. Today, Katie, and then Caroline, and finally Emily, are going to offer some stories and reflections about where they went and glimpses of this work that they did and where they found God in Texas.
Good morning. So I'm going to start off by telling you a little bit about where we went. We went to a small town in Houston, Texas called Hungerford, Texas. It's surrounded by cow pastures and it's just a very small building that we went to. But it does a lot of work. We worked with the Straightway Center, which is a drug and alcohol rehabilitation center that works with youth, individuals and large families as whole. The program provides education, training, and leadership to individuals and families, and basic life skills for youth that are involved in the program. And it does a godly reparenting through proper bonding relationships, which I'm sure they get more into through their program. They have provided 30 years of probation placement. And some of the things that they've done, like I mentioned, was drug prevention, which uses a musical and performing arts program that has then led them to become involved in 700 schools, ranging in ages from pre-K to 12th grade, which is a very large range, but they have a wide variety of programs that they showcase for the age limits that they show. They also have prison outreach, which is currently in Texas, Ohio, and Indiana. The most important part about this is that they take clients from any state, whether you are individual or whole families. So we have brochures that you can look at after the service is done that gives you a lot of more information about and goes into greater detail. When we arrived, there was a man named Andy, and he was our project manager. His son actually went through Straightway's program. Andy told us his son's story, and his son's story basically is that he was stung by a stingray in his foot or leg area, and it ended up suffering permanent nerve damage. And that led him to become addicted to pain pills, leading him down a very dark road. Then eventually he hit rock bottom and found his way to Straightway, which allowed him to accept Jesus and eventually quit all the drugs cold turkey. And he is living a healthy life and doing much better than he was before. I did not have the opportunity to talk with Andy's son, but I know some of the guys that were on the trip in Texas did get to talk to him and did get to hear his son's full story. What I heard was just what Andy had shared with the volunteers on the first night, but there's Caroline will explain a little more about other stories that we did here later on the week. So there's a little insight about where we were. Now on to my perspective of when I went. As some of you may know, last year a group of us went to Mississippi to do this trip as well. And on that trip, it was finishing up houses that were close to dedication, and then also framing a new house for another member that was going to be receiving help from Samaritan's Purse. That trip was completely different than Texas, but going into the Texas trip, I prepared myself based off of my experience from Mississippi. And boy, was that wrong when I got to Texas, because it was completely different. Completely different work. When we got to Straightway, they were in the very early stages of demolition, cleanup, you name it, it was still in the works. It was going to be quite a few years till it was ready or close to being done. So that meant that it was a lot more physical labor that we were doing. And one of the biggest tackles that we handled were these rooms that were just full of stuff. It was a mix of hoarders and storage wars, and we were expected to clear the rooms out. I was like, oh man, there's no way. There's no way these rooms are gonna get cleared out. I'm not gonna be able to lift any of this stuff. No way. So I take the line from the reading of Hebrew in a literal sense. So what is seen is made from things not visible. The room looked physically not visible because it was so full. So we tackled it. There was a majority of our group that was working on those rooms, and we got through 7 rooms and cleared them out. We actually were able to see the impact that we were making. We could see the rooms, floors, and walls. We could walk through them. You could see the impact and help that you were giving to the Straightway Center. And that, to me, was so accomplishing and self-fulfilling to see that I'm actually helping. It's not like when we were in Mississippi putting the 18th layer of gray paint on this house close to dedication, where, oh, it all looks the same, but we're making a difference. It was, this is actually working. We're actually doing something. And that was wonderful to see, and to see how we were able to come together and move these huge pieces of furniture that we were lucky enough to take sledgehammers to and get some aggression out on, but we were actually able to make a difference and see the difference and work that we were making, which was really cool and really awesome to get a whole new world perspective and experience based off of last year's trip. But it was awesome, and I'm hoping to get a whole nother experience another time, maybe next year. So now Caroline will speak about hers.
As Katie said, I'm going to talk about some of the other stories that were told to us. On Wednesday night, they had their weekly church service, and at the end of the service, they had 2 teens give short testimonies about where they had been and of the recovery. And for me, that was very inspiring and also very clarifying, because I myself have struggled at times, and I have had friends and family members who have struggled with addiction or mental illness. And the recovery road can seem long and relentless. And you give up hope. You think, I'm not going to be able to make it through. There's no point. I have no purpose left. So hearing these 2 teen stories of when they had completely hit rock bottom, and they were completely done. They were done with the fight. They had given up. And then God came in and saved them. It was very inspiring, because it showed me that no matter how bad things have or will get, possibly at one time or another, God will always be there for you. And no matter if you give up hope on him or if you think that he's hurt you in some way because he has put you through this, he always has a plan for you, even when it doesn't seem like that. Somebody on the trip told me that they see me as a bright light that will go brighter along the way, and that I will beam hope unto other people that have or will struggle with things that I have struggled with, or other things that I have no idea how to handle. And she told me that God uses our challenges and situations, no matter how big or small, to mold us into better people and to make us stronger and wiser so that we can use our experiences to help other people in need of advice or assistance. And that and the two testimonies were very clarifying for me. One of the testimonies that was given by a young girl, and she said with her struggles, every year she would go to a church camp. And about the week before she would go to the church camp, she would say that she was done with whatever she was struggling with. She said she had given it up. But she had never really given it up. By saying that she had given it up, she was sweeping it under the rug so that she was hoping that it would never come back up and that she didn't have to deal with it and she wouldn't have to accept that this was something that she was dealing with, because it's very hard to accept that there's something that you're struggling with, especially when you don't want to ask for help or you don't want to accept that you need the help. And that made me reflect on my life and past things that have happened or past things that have happened to my friends where something has happened and I've said, oh, I'm done. But I was never really done. I was just sweeping it under the rug and hiding it from people, not wanting to accept that that was something that I had done, or not wanting to disappoint people in my life because I didn't want to change what they saw me as or who they saw me as. And in the road to recovery, it is, you give up hope and you think, why would God do this to me? If he loves me and if he has a plan for me, what could he possibly plan to do with me next? If he's put me through this much struggle. But as the lady told me, that she uses our struggles and our challenges to mold us into better people, that helped me a lot, because I have given up hope on the plan that God has for me. And I have thought, oh, he doesn't care about me. He has no plan for me. And hearing her tell me that really gave me hope again, because I do like to help my friends that need assistance or need advice or are going through something to struggle. So it makes me feel like I have a purpose when I'm able to use my past experiences to help somebody else who's in need, who I love and care about.
Hi, guys. Most of you know me. I'm Emily. Microphone coming to me. Okay, so, I guess I'm going to start with my schedule. Me and Katie, we set an alarm for 6 the night before. I heard Katie's alarm go off first. Then I heard my alarm, so I got up, shut my alarm off, and fell back asleep till 6:45. Let's be frank, guys. I've never been a morning person, and that's why I like this service so much better. breakfast was at 7, and I was almost always late, to no surprise. Work started around 8, and to tell you a secret, one day I forgot my wristband, so they thought I was an adult, and they let me play with power tools, which was awesome. Lunch was around 12, and I was pretty content eating food in an air-conditioned room. It was awesome. I don't really know when I got back to work. It was probably around 1. Our cleanup was around 4, 4:30-ish, and a very well-deserved dinner was at 5. One day, Megan, where'd she go? There she is. Megan and our new friend Erica noticed Wow, okay. Nobody's actually talking to new people. We're all sitting at the same place every time. So they had this brilliant idea to sneak into the room real quick before everybody else got there and sit at a different table. And it kind of forced people to sit with new people. And it was a great idea because we ended up making even more friends, and it's brought us closer to everybody else. And it made working with them a lot more fun. But also, speaking of making friends, the cook there was really sweet. She did something really nice to me that I really thought was great. For those that have seen me at Eucharist, I get that, like me and Caroline say, I get the gluten-free Jesus. because I kind of swell up like a watermelon, and it's not really my look when I have gluten, so we're going to cut back on that. But anyways, during the meals, I could usually only have a salad, and I went there knowing that there was not going to be gluten-free options for me, but I still wanted to help. I still wanted to be there to take part in it, so my parents were willing to even mail in food to me. Megan was willing to go out and buy me food, but I was just eating salads until one day the cook noticed that all I could eat was salads, so she went out with her own money, and she bought me completely gluten-free meals. And one day I came in and she greets me with this big old smile and she's like, are you Emily? And I'm like, why, yes I am. And she's like, I got food for you. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So I ran and jumped in front of Megan and I was like, Megan, I have actual food. And I thought it was really great because it was awesome. And her kindness helped fuel me to do more work. Mostly the food, but some of her kindness, yes. Yeah, I needed that food. But yeah, it just showed me that this is what I'm working for. I'm helping repay them for their kindness. And it was more or less like, I help you, you help me. We were really all working together. It was really great. And I guess that was my testimony, guys.
These three glimpses of the time in Texas, the hard physical work when you're not used to the hard physical work, the bold vulnerability of sharing our stories of when we've been at our lowest points, and the ways in which we create community, especially those Eucharists with a little e. When we gather at this table, it's Eucharist with a big E, but every time we gather and share and break bread together with one another, we are still at Eucharist, and we are still making something bigger than just ourselves. This line from our gospel today, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think it has something to say about service, about community, and about our call as Christians. In the reading from Isaiah, we hear this list: cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, rescue the oppressed, defend the orphan, plead for the widow. This is all work of service. This is all work of creating God's vision of life here on earth. And when we think of treasure, we most often think of possessions. But that's really an individual approach. That is when we're thinking of ourselves and what it is we have. But when we think of community, then the shift is different, because the treasure, when we are talking about community, is in the relationships. It's in the community itself. And I think that's been the real gift of hearing those stories today, is hearing about how community was made within this group that traveled together, the ways in which they enlarged community where they found it in Texas, and the way they're bringing back their stories helps to create and enlarge our community as well. And so I'm so thankful for you all sharing today and for the work that you have done. And I look forward to see the ways in which work like this will continue to grow here at St. James. Let us all say amen.